Take your Bibles and get ready. We'll be turning to a lot of passages tonight. But we're going to start off tonight, if you would please, in Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. The title of my message tonight is Watching in Prayer. Watching in Prayer. What are people watching today? News, sports, stock market, investment portfolios, health-related numbers, their weight, their blood pressure, etc. People are always watching the weather. On a more serious note, folks, we are watching things happen in our world and in our country today, the likes of which we never dreamed 40, 30, 20, or even 10 years ago. We are watching the world disintegrate, and I don't think that's an exaggerated term to use. We are watching evil, wickedness, lies, anarchy, perversion, corruption, division, violence, and hate spreading like wildfire. At large, the world is watching the sewage pumped out by Hollywood and other major media outlets. The world is watching the housing market, the job market, the political scene, the courtroom dramas, the latest numbers on COVID and other health concerns, and on and on we could go. Folks, tonight, as born-again believers, we are called to watch. Not in the same way the world watches. We've mentioned what the world watches, but we as believers are to be watching different things and in different ways. Watching in prayer, like I said, is a topic of our lesson tonight, of our message tonight. And in Colossians 4:2, we're going to start off here. Paul, writing to the Colossians under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same," the same referring back to the idea of prayer, "with thanksgiving." Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. What does it mean to watch in prayer? From the original text to our English translations, there are two words that are translated watch. Both words, in their context in the scripture, are inseparably linked with prayer. Get ready to move your fingers around here. Turn first of all to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 42. The first word that is translated watch in our English language and in our English versions of the Bible is a word that has the idea to stay awake, to pay attention, to be on guard. And we find that first usage of that particular word here in Matthew 24, verse 42. The Lord, talking about the end times and the time of His coming, He says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Over a couple chapters to Matthew 26, continuing with the word that is translated, that we would say means stay awake, pay attention, be on guard. Matthew 26:38. Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane here. We'll start back in verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Don't be watching for Judas. Don't be watching for the crowd coming to arrest me. There's something more important here that needs to be going on. Verse 39, And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse 40, And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How often is it if we try to spend a lengthy time in prayer, we start to go to sleep? That's happened to me. Normally, I have my daily prayer time right in the morning. I do not consider myself to be a morning person. But I have realized over the years that if I don't pray in the morning, it doesn't happen. The busyness of the day comes in. I have learned the lesson over time that if I do not pray, I might, if I'm going to work in the morning and I get there, it's not too much longer that I'm going to be struck with something and I'm going to think, okay, I didn't pray this morning. And numerous times I have been like the disciples here. You're praying, and all of a sudden you're dreaming. We're human, okay? This happens. But it came to the disciples. Jesus does not seem to consider it an excusable thing. The disciples were tired. We had a long, busy day. I mean, you've been telling us all this heavy stuff about your death, and what's going on here? Lord, our brains are tired, and what's going on? And he comes back. And he says, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He says, watch and pray for the purpose of you not entering into temptation. Stay awake. Pay attention. Be on guard. Over to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Continuing with this word that is defined as stay awake, pay attention, be on guard. Mark chapter 13. Verse 33, once again, he is referring to the last days when he is going to be, when he will come again. And he tells them in verse 32, But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray. There are those two inextricably linked terms. Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. And then he gives the parable about the man going on the journey and coming back home when they least expect it. He says in verse 37, And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Over to Luke 12, 37. Luke 12, 37. Once again, he is this, over and over, this theme is linked to us watching for the Lord's return in prayer. We say, okay, we see the signs of the times. We talk about that. The Lord's return must be near. But it's more than just watching the news and processing it and trying to process it through the lens of biblical prophecy. But folks, the Lord is coming back, okay? He is coming back. And we need to be watching and praying as we anticipate His return. That is, over and over we see this theme here. Luke chapter 12, verse 37 says, Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And he goes on to say, If he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. Luke 21, a few chapters over, Luke chapter 21, verse 36. All these ideas of staying awake, paying attention, and being on guard. Luke 21, 36. Watch ye therefore and pray. There's that term again. Always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now skip over to one of Paul's epistles, to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Believers lose heart far too easily. They faint in their minds, they become weary. But in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, Paul makes it very clear. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. That's, in other words, be a man, grow up, be strong. He tells them to watch and stand fast. The reason Christianity is not standing fast in our world and in our nation today is because we are not watching in prayer and doing exactly what the Lord says to do. We're standing fast in the faith. Too many things are coming along where people are saying, oh, you know, the Bible doesn't really say this. No, the Bible does say what the Bible always has said, and nothing changes, okay? It is written. When the Lord was in his temptation in the wilderness, the phrase he kept throwing at Satan was, it is written. In other words, it stands written. It hasn't been erased. It continues to this day. The Word of God does that, and we need to rest in that as we watch in prayer and stand fast in our faith. Over to 1 Thessalonians 5:6. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Watching, staying awake, paying attention, being on guard. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep. There's the idea of sleeping when you're in prayer. But let us therefore not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Back to Revelation, to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation 3, verses 2 and 3. Revelation 3, verses 2 and 3. Watching, staying awake, paying attention, being on guard. He writes, the Lord himself speaking to the church of Sardis. He writes in verses 2 and 3, he says, be watchful, as that word, strengthen the things which remain and that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And over to Revelation 16, verse 15. Staying awake, paying attention, being on guard. Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. One reason I believe many believers, the world looks upon many believers with contempt, and many believers feel ashamed, is because they're not watching in prayer. Prayer gives us power as we face the world. Prayer makes us not ashamed. If I were to get up, or if anybody were to get up here and present the word, a Sunday school class, message, whatever it was, and we had not prayed in preparation for it, we would not be that workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Prayer must go into it. As we face the world, prayer must go into it. As we seek to live the Christian walk, we must pray toward that. Stay awake, pay attention, be on guard. Now there's a second word from the original languages to our current English translation that's translated watch. This definition of this word has the idea to be sober, calm, collected in spirit, to be circumspect. The first one we said, watch, to stay awake and pay attention. We saw references to not sleeping. We saw references to just being alert and being aware of what is happening around us as we go through our lives. How often do we put our lives on automatic, co-pilot, coast through, and we've gone far too long without a respectable, meaningful time in prayer? I'm going to give you some practical points on this as we continue this, but stick with me as we go through this word here as well. This other word, watch, has the idea of to be sober, calm, collected in spirit, to be circumspect. To have a perspective of you are aware of what is going around on all sides about you. Do not put on blinders. Be aware. Like we said, the world is disintegrating. And if we walk with a lack of circumspection, we're going to just make shipwreck. Ephesians 6:18, the first use we see in the New Testament of this word meaning be sober, calm, collected in spirit, circumspect. Praying, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being sober, calm, collected in spirit, being circumspect with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 2 Timothy 4:5. The second use of this word, watch, to be sober, calm, collected in spirit. 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He tells Timothy, be sober, calm, collected in spirit, be circumspect. All things. And finally, in 1 Peter 4:7, this word meaning to watch, to be sober, calm, collected in spirit, to be circumspect, 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You could almost read this, it almost sounds redundant, but I think he emphasizes this. Be ye therefore sober and watch with the idea of being sober, calm, collected in spirit, and be circumspect unto prayer. The end of, folks, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The disciples, they spent 3.5 years approximately with the Lord. They came to him, one of them came to him one day and said, Lord, teach us to pray. The Lord gave them the model prayer, commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but it cannot be the Lord's Prayer because in the prayer there is a request for forgiveness, and the Lord never had any sins to be forgiven. It is a model prayer for us as disciples. You want to see the Lord's Prayer? You look at his prayer the night before he was crucified. You talk about a rich, rich, rich portion of Scripture. How he prays for himself, for the 12 disciples, and for all of us, those who will believe on them through their word. We're not going to go into that passage tonight. But in Gethsemane, he tells the disciples, he comes back, as you recall, and he asks Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now, I like things broken down into times and categories. I like categories, compartmentalize it. It helps to keep my thoughts organized here. Years ago, I learned this technique with Brother Harold Vaughn and his Christ Life Ministry prayer advance, the idea of prayer CPR. You say, what is prayer CPR? I've mentioned this in other messages in the past, but it always seems to fit. CPR, confession, praise, and request. Now, if you are like me, when you go to prayer, what's the first thing you want to dive into? the request part. Lord, I want to watch in prayer. Lord, I need. Lord, can you give me this? Lord, I need this too. And we dive straight into that. Folks, biblical prayer has these three aspects: confession, praise, and request. If all we do is request, our prayer is unbiblical. Let me say that again. If all we do is make request, our prayer is unbiblical. Why is our prayer unbiblical if all we do is request? Well, for one thing, Brother Sean mentioned this Sunday morning, our feet get dirty as we walk through the course of the world. We need to have confession to make our hearts right with the Lord, because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if we want the Lord to hear us, there must be some time for confession. We are also called to praise the Lord. We are to thank Him, praise and thanksgiving. How much of your prayer time this past week, if you were to tally it all up, was spent thanking God? Well, you say, I thank God for my food every time I sit down. That's barely the minimum. That's a thread. I mean, should you thank God for your food? Absolutely. But if all we do is say, dear God, thank you for this food, amen, that is lacking in what our prayer life should be in this praise and thanksgiving. We are to watch with prayer, and that includes the confession, the praise, and then you can make the requests. Now, like I said, visual aids help me. For example, if you were to spend 1 hour in prayer, this is just an idea. This is strictly for me. You can do this however you want to. But you say, how can we watch in prayer? How can we actually do this in a balanced way? This is just a suggestion maybe that you can use. Let's say you pray for 1 hour. And you say, a whole hour? I can't always do it. I don't do this as often as I need to, as often as I should. But just take 1 hour. Break it up into three equal parts. 20 minutes for confession. You say, 20 minutes? Yeah. That sounds scary. Are you willing to give God 20 minutes to speak to your heart and say, Lord, search me? We sing that song, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me and see if there be some wicked way in me. May I challenge you, maybe just give this a try, and just, when you start off, let's say you start off at 7 o'clock, and you're praying, and before you do anything else, don't ask God for anything else, don't praise Him for anything else, sit back and say, Lord, search me. And sit still, and let God search your heart. You say, that sounds intimidating. It might be. But if it is intimidating, maybe something is wrong. What are we afraid God might put His finger on? The problem, I think, why we rush past the confession part of our prayer life is like, I don't know what God might say. What might He reveal to me? If He reveals something to you, it is for your good. Is the problem, I love my sin too much, I don't want to confess it and get right with God? Well, then your prayer life isn't going to go anywhere. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Can we not give God 20 minutes to search our heart? Can we not give Him the first third of whatever prayer time we have and say, Lord, just check me out. Let me know if there's anything wrong. Point your finger. I got your attention there. Just pull back the covers and say, Lord, examine me. What is it that I need to confess? I want to have a full channel of communication with You, and give God perhaps 20 minutes to just shine His light in you and say, hey, this is a problem. Hey, this is a problem. Hey, remember what you said to so-and-so? That was sin. Remember that attitude you had? That was sin. Remember this? God may need 20 minutes to get through to everything that needs to be dealt with. Are you willing to give Him that time so you have a clear channel of communication with Him in prayer? After you've done that first 20 minutes, like I said, this is just practical ideas for you. You don't have to do it this way. How about spending 20 minutes thanking God? For what? Folks, you start counting blessings, you can fill up 20 minutes. Thank Him for stuff you don't usually thank Him for. Lord, thank You for the roof over our head. Thank You for the clothes we have to wear. Lord, thank You for the ability to see. Lord, thank You for the ability to hear. Lord, thank You for the ability to speak. Lord, thank You for the ability to walk and talk, to dress myself. Lord, thank You for the bed I have to lie in. Lord, thank You for the food on the table. Lord, thank You for the vehicles we have to drive. Lord, thank You for the sun coming up this morning. You can fill 20 minutes of an hour in prayer with God with nothing but, Lord, thank You, thank You, thank You. Praise You for this. Praise, praise, praise. And if you have thoroughly had a time of confession, that time, you're just going to be overflowing with praise and thanksgiving. You probably don't want to stop. And then perhaps, if you want to use this technique, spend the last 20 minutes of the hour making requests. I have found by experience, by doing this method here, if I have truly done the first two, the confession and the praise, I find that the nature of my requests changes. I'm not praying for the things that I would have prayed for before. My focus has been redirected to things that are of a more eternal nature. I'm not praying for petty little gimme this, gimme that. But I find if I have done this process, if I have gone through the praise and the confession and the praise part first, when I get to the request, I'm not praying for what I would have prayed for before. I am praying for higher things. But how often is it that we dive in and we pray, and we pray for piddly things? And it says, the Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not, but then you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You pray for things that you can consume it upon your lusts. Now you may say, okay, well, maybe I can't do a full hour. My schedule is busy. I understand that. How about 30 minutes? Spend 10 minutes in confession. 10 minutes thanking and praising. 10 minutes requests. Well, you might say, well, that's still a little much. Well, start somewhere. How about 15 minutes of prayer? What's 15 divided by 3? I have one mathematician in here. What's 15 divided by 3? Okay, all right. Spend 5 minutes in confession. Spend 5 minutes in praise. 5 minutes in request. I had to stop tonight before I came into this building and do a 15-minute one myself tonight. It was a lulu of one. My last hour on the job today was a bit traumatic. Any day when you have to call the police in is kind of a draining day. And if you know you got to get up and preach and do the service on the Wednesday night, you feel that drain. I had to do this 15 minutes. Time I got here, I dropped the rest of my family over at Awana's, and I had to sit in my car, and I had to have a 15-minute round of this here. The day had left me frayed, particularly my last hour on the job. The rest of the day was fine, but that one last hour, isn't it amazing on the job? The rest of the day goes fine, then that last hour is a nuclear explosion. You're like, where in the world did this come from? Some of you are shaking your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you get off, and you're frazzled. But prayer. I said, I've got to stop. I need to do this. And so I did a 15-minute round, just 5 minutes of confession, 5 minutes of praise, 5 minutes of request. It goes by fast. You may say, that's like a long time. Folks, this is prayer. This is us talking to our Heavenly Father. This is us interacting with Him. That is why we were saved. We are saved to have a relationship with Him. But if we don't talk to Him, what is the relationship? Where is it? One reason Christianity is so anemic these days is that prayer is just, it's an afterthought. Go back and study the life of Christ. See how much a part of His life was consumed with prayer. This is the Son of God. He had to get away from time to time and pray. If He does, how much more do we? He dealt with people all the time. The crowds, He dealt with the public. Dealing with the public wears you out. And He told His disciples sometime, let us go away into a desert place and pray. And He did that. And if He had to do that, how much more do we? Folks, I have never engaged in prayer of this nature here and finished up with regret. Whether it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour, it is refreshing as prayer should be. If you do not come out of prayer time refreshed, you're not doing something right. If it's 1 hour, giving God 20 minutes to search you, giving God 20 minutes of praise, giving yourself 20 minutes before the throne of grace, 30 minutes, break it up into 10 minutes, 15 minutes, break it up into 5. It's just practical ideas. But by all means, incorporate all of these into your prayer as you watch, as you stay on guard, as you stay awake, as you try, by God's grace, in His power, to be sober, calm, collected in spirit, and to be circumspect. Do you find yourself not staying awake, not paying attention, not being on guard, not being sober, not being calm, not being collected in spirit, not being circumspect? Check your prayer life. That might be the whole problem. So, are we watching in prayer the way the Bible says? Fanny Crosby, she wrote the hymn, Will Jesus Find Us Watching? You know, I find this astonishing, but she was blind, as most everybody knows. She was blind. But she writes a hymn about watching. Don't you have to have eyes to watch? Not according to her. She was watching. Watching is not something we do necessarily with our eyes. It's what we do with our lives. And prayer has an enormous part of that. Fanny Crosby, she writes the words to the song, When Jesus comes to reward His servant, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him will He find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. If at the dawn of the early morning He shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will He answer you, well done? Have we been true to the trust He left us, which includes prayer? Do we seek to do our best, including prayer? If in our hearts there is naught condemns us, we shall have a glorious rest. Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching. In His glory they shall share. If He shall come at the dawn or midnight, will He find us watching there? Oh, can we say, we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Looking back over this past week, have you been watching in prayer? Or have you been watching all the stuff that the world is watching? How much peace do you have? How equipped do you feel to handle all the stuff that the world is going through? Prayer is a vital part of it. Prayer is a vital part of our walk with the Lord. If we neglect it, we ourselves suffer. Let me say that again. Prayer is a vital part of our walk with the Lord, and if we neglect it, we ourselves suffer. As born-again believers, as I said before, we are called to watch. We are called to watch in prayer. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? It's a question we have to ask every single day. Am I watching in prayer? Am I spending time being biblical in my prayer? Not just coming to Him, Lord, give me this. Lord, I need. But clearing the way with confession, giving God the praise and thanksgiving that is rightfully due Him. And then after that, we have a clear flow in our hearts and minds. Lord, my focus is redirected on things of a higher nature. I have done with lesser things. I have higher requests now, more than just my own comfort and my own lusts. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. It's all watching in prayer. We're going to sing for our song, our closing song here. Did you think to pray? It's not in your hymnal. It asks a series of questions here. Before you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Stand with us, please. We're going to sing this song. We're going to sing, it's be three verses of it. Did you think to pray?
There you left your room this morning.